Well, we're sitting around the table tonight, or at least you are. And so Mephibosheth has now been brought to sit at the king's table. And so just to kind of recap super quick, and then we'll just kind of wrap up this chapter. As we're looking at Mephibosheth, who is he in relation to Saul? Anybody remember?
Grandson.
So who's Mephibosheth's father? Jonathan. All right. Who is Jonathan in relation to David?
Best friend.
All right. So we've got all that kind of squared away. Well, Saul and Jonathan had passed, and they had passed through the battle of the war that had raged. And when that had happened and the nurse had heard news of that, she picked up young Mephibosheth, maybe like 5 years old, I believe it was. And when she picked him up to carry him away, she dropped him. And so because of that, he became lame, and nothing could really cure him of that. Nothing could really fix that. And so that's where we find him at in chapter 9, and that's his condition. And because of his condition and because of his relationship to Saul, he is in hiding. He's in Lodabar. So he's in a place that's remote and desolate. And he's also in somebody else's house to be able to find the strength that he needs and the resources that he needs. He's a man who's poor and destitute. And so as we look at Mephibosheth and we see who he is, David asked this question at the very beginning of chapter 9. He said, is there anybody left in Saul's house? Is there anybody at all? Because I want to show the kindness of God. And so they come back and said, yeah, there's one left, and he's lame in his feet. And so David says, go get him. Let's bring him into the house. And so in verse number 5, it says they brought him out of the house of Machar. And so we see all these different pictures of how Saul's kingdom, Saul's house had fallen. And we see the picture of sin. We see that sin has caused Adam and Eve to fall, and therefore mankind is fallen in nature. And that sin, there in your notes, that second heading there, that subheading, if you will, sin brings ruin, and then sin separates us from God. And so number one there, God pursues us. Even though we have wronged Him, even though we are far from Him, God pursues us. And so Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came after any and all. And so David asked his question, is there anybody left? He didn't care if they were good. He didn't care if they were bad. He wanted to be a blessing. And so when Jesus came, He came for those who think they're good and for those who are bad. Because at the end of the day, all of us are sinners in need of Jesus. And so we see all these different wonderful gospel pictures, and there's so much there. And as we get to the last part of this chapter, Mephibosheth is brought to the king's table. I want you to notice down in verse number 7, chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. It says, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And so David says, listen, fear not. We looked at that picture too, that God has wrath on sin. There will be judgment on sin. Sin will not be winked at. Sin will not be just casually ignored. But God will judge sin. He's a God of love. He's a God of judgment and of wrath as well. And so Jesus came and died for us so that we not only have a home in heaven and forgiveness of our sins, but we escape the wrath of God. And we get to sit at the king's table. And now as we sit at the king's table, we receive all of these blessings, all of these wonderful things in our life. Salvation in itself is all that we truly need, but then God just continues to pour upon us each and every day. And if we're not careful, we'll look around in the bad news of this world or even the negativity and pessimism of this world and think, man, everything's in a mess and things are awful. And they are when you look around. But when you realize what God is doing in your life, what God is blessing you with, you'll begin to understand that, yes, we live in a fallen world, but we have a good Heavenly Father who is providing for our needs. And so we've heard some of these testimonies tonight, and I want to share a few more here tonight as we look at the rest of this passage and just again try to show some of these pictures. So Mephibosheth sitting at the table, first of all, let's look at number two there. You've got number two. We didn't fill that out. So number two says this: the gospel provides blessings at the king's table. So number two there, the gospel provides blessings at the king's table. So we've kind of recapped some of our blessings. Now let me share some that I want to give to us tonight. You've shared. Let me share, first of all, as he's sitting at the table, it represents position. It represents position. Now, Mephibosheth has no really blood relation to David. Now, there is kind of that marriage relationship because David had married Jonathan's sister, Saul's daughter. But in a sense here, Mephibosheth is now being adopted into the family. The word there that's used is that he's going to sit at the table one time, a few times, continually for the rest of his life. And nothing can separate that. No war, no government dictations, nothing. Nothing's going to take that away. The king has the authority. The king has the say-so. The king has the decree if he wants to. And so he says, you're going to sit here continually. You don't have to just come one time, but this, you now have a permanent seat at the king's table. And that shows here a position. And this is where we see this idea and truth for us is adoption. We have been adopted into the family of God. And so Romans chapter 8, I believe that's in your notes. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we looked at that Sunday night. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Nothing can take that away from you. Now you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. But you cannot lose the Holy Spirit in your life as far as living inside of you. And so Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear not. Okay? But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so there's a whole series of sermons just in those verses, but I'm just kind of hitting some highlights of our blessings tonight. So we're adopted into the family of God. He's going to be sitting at the table continually. He's a part of the royal family, if you will. All right. Not only that, but Mephibosheth here, we're going to see there's going to be an inheritance. Notice that it says in verse number 7 that David doesn't only bring him to the table, but he's going to give him the land that was lost. He says, I'm going to restore all the land. You see, when Saul died, and then Jonathan died, and the house of Saul had come to a halt, it was just completely ruined. They also lost a lot of their estates, their resources. I mean, now Mephibosheth is the one left to kind of stand for himself, and he can't, not just physically, but just as a person. He cannot do much. And David says, I'm going to give back the land. I'm going to restore it back to you. He says, listen, you're going to restore what was lost. You know, sin has stolen a lot of things from us. The devil has stolen. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so sin promises us lots of pleasure. And there's testimonies all in this room of things that have taken our joy and taken our peace. It's robbed us. But when we got saved, Jesus restored unto us that peace, true peace, like peace that actually is peaceful. He gives us pleasure. He gives us joy. There was discussion over here by Miss Vivian of just simply hobbies and things that we get to enjoy as people of God. God blesses us greatly. He's really good to us. And so He's restored all of these things that we've ruined with our life. And so we get an inheritance. There's so much, again, more there in the inheritance department, but we continue on. Notice He brings him to the table, right? We get Psalm 23:5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And so we are a blessed people tonight, sitting at the King's table, sitting around with our brothers and sisters of Christ, feasting at the table of God. This is just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. To be with our brothers and sisters, our family, those who are saved, God's people, around His table for all of eternity, worshiping Him, serving Him, and feasting and enjoying all the blessings that are to come. And so, at the end of the day, we're spoiled rotten. That's really what we are as God's people. We're on our way to heaven. We were once on our way to hell, but now we're on our way to heaven if you're saved tonight. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. Jesus wants to save you. That's why He came to this world. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to draw you to Him, I would answer. I wouldn't delay. I wouldn't put it off. And so you can also sit at the King's table and be forever settled with God. Have your sin debt paid for? We have second chances after second chances. We have mercy that is fresh every morning. We have a word in our darkest night, as Brother Henry testified. We have access to Him in the middle of the night when everybody else is asleep, everybody else is getting rest, and we can't. We can talk to Him in the middle of the night. We can talk to Him in the middle of a bad day at work. We can sit and talk to Him at the doctor's office, in the emergency room, or in the waiting room. And no matter where we are, we can talk to God. And so His blessings are abundant. And Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And so that's a twofold promise of a verse. There's things in this life that we have not seen or heard, but yet in the life to come, the eternity to come, there are things we have not seen, things we have not heard, that God has in store for you. And so there is so much He gives today, but there is so much more in store. Can I tell you this? He gives us secure salvation. Amen. Notice here as we continue 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, He says, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon him such as a dead dog as I am?" Verse 9, "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Notice verse number 13. "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet." I think this is fascinating how many times it says that he's sitting at the table. And then it wanted to remind us before we go to the next chapter that he's lame in his feet. So that did not change. The blessings came, but this particular issue did not change. He's at the table. He's got his land back. He's got all these things. but he's still laying at his feet. But do you know tonight, as you're sitting at a table, and let's just say as you're talking one to another, even before we started here tonight, nobody was looking at anybody else's legs. You were sitting at the table, you were looking eye to eye, you were looking perhaps somewhere else, but you're not looking at people's feet. And so that table has become a covering over his lame feet. That was not necessarily an issue to David. It was not necessarily an issue to Mephibosheth. He got the blessings. And see that picture there, that covering is a picture of our sins being covered.
Amen.
The atonement. The blood of Jesus has become the atonement of our sins. It has covered. It has even washed away our sins. Are we still in this life a sinner?
Yes. We still sin.
We still struggle with the weaknesses of the flesh, but we still have a seat at the King's table. We still have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't cast us aside. He doesn't tell us to get away from the table. He keeps us there at the table. It's covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And so there's a secure salvation in that aspect. But can I tell you, can I show you a sneak preview? Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 21. I don't know when we'll get to this chapter at the pace we're looking at, but let me give you a sneak preview in chapter 21. Now, old Saul, he's a very prideful man. We've looked at him, and one of the things he did when he was still living is he broke a covenant. He broke even really kind of an important treaty with the Gibeonites. And because of that, judgment has come upon this nation, this region. Even though Saul had gone on, there's still consequences of his choices. Let me say, sin always has consequences. Maybe not immediately, but it may be even down the road. And it may even affect those that you love and know. And so in chapter 21, judgment has come upon Israel. There's 3 years of famine, verse 1 tells us. And the Gibeonites need retribution for this covenant that was broken with Saul. And they request 7 of Saul's kindred to be slain, executed, if you will. And so you can read some of those verses later on. But I want you to notice what verse number 7 is. So David gives 7. But notice what verse 7 says. Who does he spare? Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. He spares Mephibosheth. Let me tell you here tonight, there is wrath of God that is on its way. There will be one day that the great white throne, God will establish himself upon that throne and cast judgment. And cast judgment, not even before then. There's judgment on the world even today. But God's people will be spared the wrath of hell and the wrath of God because of what Jesus Christ, his son, did on the cross. And our reception of that payment into our life. And we will be spared from the execution, spared from the wrath that is to come. You see, our salvation is secure. God is not going to change his mind 10 years from now because we're acting up or because we're not as grateful as we should be. He's not going to get a little while into eternity and change his mind and cast us into hell. No, your salvation is as secure today as it will be for all of eternity. And I can't even give you timelines of eternity because there is no time. There is no ending. There is no in-between when it comes to eternity. It's secure forever. And so you can't lose your salvation. You can't lose your seat at the table. Once you've been established into the King's family, you are settled and you are there. This represents position. It represents also fellowship. Back over in chapter 9, I got to hurry here. Did you notice he gets this land? Now think about this. What good does land do for somebody who can't even till the land? He can't work the land. He's got it in possession, but he can't actually reap any fruit from it. He can't get out there and do the work. Notice, though, David takes care of that too. What a great king. Notice in verse number 10, it says, he told Ziba, get your sons and your servants out there to till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that they might have food to eat. Listen, Ziba and the servants come to help Mephibosheth because he's still helpless. He's not hopeless anymore, but he's still helpless. And so as God's people, we're not hopeless anymore because we have the hope of heaven, but we're still helpless at the end of the day. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to comfort us and to convict us. And so God has given strength for the weak. Even though you may feel helpless tonight, God's Holy Spirit wants to lead you along life's journey. Aren't you glad God's good to you tonight? Aren't you glad He's thought about everything, how He's shown kindness to you, and He wants to fellowship with you around the table? And so I want to ask us tonight, here, Mephibosheth is sitting at the king's table, and he has the blessings that are provided at that table. And let me say, what the king's eating is the best of the best. It's not junk food, and it's not even cut the corners to just get food on the table. It's the best of the best. Whatever in your mind is the best to you, that's what this is. It's the best. Well, think about this. Mephibosheth, what if there had been times that it was time to eat, but he decided to eat somewhere else? Maybe something a little more convenient, something a little more quicker, something that would maybe even fill in the appetite before he got to the king's table. And perhaps those temptations arise in his life, and yet he would recall, why would I eat this junk food when I've got a seat at the king's table? Why would I cut corners? Why would I go for what's convenient? Why would I sit at another table? Why would I sit at the enemy's table when I can sit at the king's table? And I ask us tonight, are we sitting at the right table? Are you sitting at the king's table? Are you still sitting at the king's table? Or do you so often go to the enemy's table and you go get something that's a little more quicker or something a little more desirable, but in the eyes of God, it's the junk food of this world? And then when it comes time to sit at the king's table, maybe at church or maybe at a prayer meeting or maybe a men's fellowship or whatever it is, you come to the table, it's open. And you come and sit down and you don't feast off the blessings of God because you're full from the junk food. You've been sitting at the wrong table. You've not lost your salvation. You've not lost your position. Your seat's still there. You can come sit down at any time you want it, any time you need it. The seat is still open. But how often do we sit at the wrong table and fill ourselves up with junk? And then we wonder when we come to the king's table why we cannot taste that which what God wants us to have. You see, Mephibosheth went from hiding in fear to sitting at the king's table. He went from destitute to the royal family. He went from nothing to everything. And tonight I say, praise the Lord, we get to sit at the king's table. He's been so good to us up until January 21st, 2026. And I know if we're here tomorrow, the Lord tears is coming. He'll be good to us on January 22nd. But if He does come back, He's going to be good to us in heaven. And so it's win-win either way. And tonight, let's hang our head up high. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. And let's go invite somebody else to come sit at the table with us and tell them the good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to give you a few quick announcements. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for this wonderful gospel story tucked away in the Old Testament. Lord, I love that the Bible is full of the gospel. It's full of hope. It is full of joy. It is full of exactly what we need. I pray tonight it's been an encouragement. I pray tonight, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, would you get that settled in their heart tonight? And they can rest easy in your arms to know that their sins are paid for and that their home is in heaven. And Lord, for those of us tonight, we've already made that commitment to you. Lord, we've already been saved. Lord, let us also rest easy, knowing that nothing can pluck us out of your hand. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.